This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Trade promotion is a key part of the Farm Bill the House and Senate passed by overwhelming margins this week, even as there are signs U.S. trade tensions with China may be thawing. Lawmakers were taking no chances on farm trade, even as rumors swirled that Chinese state-owned buyers have bought 30 or more cargoes of U.S. soybeans, in a possible thaw in trade relations with the U.S. House Ag Chair Michael Conaway stressed the importance of promoting U.S. farm exports and agriculture's suspicion of China shortly before the Farm Bill won final passage.
China recently oversubsidized just three crops by more than $100 billion in a single year. Put in perspective, China spent more on excess illegal subsidies in a year than the entire U.S. safety net covering all commodities will cost in roughly two farm bills.
A key reason that lawmakers fully funded, at producers' request, trade promotion programs.
This includes fully funding the Market Access Program and the Foreign Market Development Program. We also succeeded in maintaining the vital link between America's farmers and ranchers and U.S. food aid by preserving the in-kind food assistance to our neighbors in need from around the world.
Meantime, an American Soybean Association director, Rob Schaefer from Illinois, had this on the reports of renewed purchases by China of U.S. beans.
It's a good first step. We need all we can get here in the Midwest and across the country for soybean farmers, and a good first step. And we'd love to see Secretary Perdue continue with the MFP funding of the second round.
Trade talks continue with China, and President Trump recently brokered a ceasefire in the tariff war with Beijing. A brewing spat over the arrest in Canada and possible extradition to the U.S. of a Chinese tech executive for an alleged Iran sanctions violation could hurt progress. China so far has kept the arrest and trade issues separate, with rumored soybean buys and possible cut in auto tariffs as a positive sign. Earlier this week, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Environmental Protection Agency announced rulemaking that includes a new definition of the waters of the U.S. rule under the Clean Water Act. The proposed rule is designed to revise the definition of WOTUS in order to make sure the definition matches up with the Trump administration's executive order issued in February of 2017. Brent Van Dyke is president of the National Association of Conservation District. He's pleased with the work done by the EPA and the Army Corps to address just how complex the definition of jurisdictional waters can be. Locally led conservation, including local decision making, puts me at the forefront of these clarification efforts, he says. That's why the NACD has consistently stood against expanding federal jurisdiction under the Clean Waters Act. Van Dyke says they are optimistic the new rule will provide clarity and transparency around current WOTUS regulations and help landowners have a better understanding of exactly what is compliant within the law. The National Association of Conservation Districts says it will continue to work with the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers to provide additional input as they complete the review of the proposed rule. In our last national story this afternoon, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue today announced that the United States Department of Agriculture is offering up to $600 million in loans and grants to help rebuild broadband infrastructure in rural America. Telecommunication companies, rural electric cooperatives and utilities, internet service providers, and municipalities may apply for funding through the USDA's new ReConnect program to connect rural areas that currently have insufficient broadband service. Answering the administration's call to action for rural prosperity, Congress appropriated funds in the fiscal year of 2018 budget for this broadband pilot program. USDA Rural Development is the primary agency delivering the program, with assistance from other federal partners. Projects funded through this initiative must serve communities with fewer than 20,000 people, with no broadband service, or where service is slower than 10 megabits a second and downloads of slower than 1 megabit per second upload. Evaluation criteria includes connecting agriculture production and marketing, e-commerce, healthcare, and education facilities. Previous research by the USDA has demonstrated that high-capacity broadband is critical to all aspects of rural prosperity, including the ability to grow and attract businesses, retain and develop talent, and maintain the rural quality of life. In local news, we have the sale results from the Greenville Livestock Auction for this past sale on Wednesday, December the 12th. Total receipts were 1,001 and cattle receipts totaled 864. Slaughter steers and heifer traded a dollar higher on High Choice and $1 to $2 higher on Low Choice and Selects. Holstein steers traded unevenly steady on High Choice and $1 higher on Choice and Selects. Feeder steers and heifers traded unevenly steady on medium-large 1 to 2s and weaker on unvaccinated, unweaned to short-weaned calves and medium-short 2 to 3s. Slaughter cows traded a dollar lower to a dollar higher on better cows and unevenly steady on lower to slower cows. Slaughter bulls traded unevenly steady to a dollar higher. And the sheep and goat sale was at noon on Wednesday. Total of 137 sheep and goats were sold by 100 weight. Slaughtered lambs from 50 to 175 pounds traded from anywhere from 100 to 225 pounds. Feeder lambs from 25 to 90 pounds sold from anywhere from $100 to $150 a head. Slaughter ewes from 125 to 170 pounds went for $52 to $85 a head. Slaughter kids from 40 to 100 pounds sold from anywhere from $170 to $240 a head, and dairy kids were from $120 to $150 a head. Feeder kids from 15 to 50 pounds sold for $100 to $150 a head. Thinners were from $100 to $130 a head, and the dairy and pygmy feeder kids were from $50 to $100 a head. Nannies from 50 to 150 pounds were from $100 to $145 a head, and the thin nannies were from $50 to $70 a head. And finally, billies from 70 to 150 pounds sold for $100 to $127.50 a head, and the wethers were not tested. Moving on to FFA news, the Litchfield FFA chapter is partnering with the Illinois Foundation FFA, business owners, caring individuals, sponsoring committee volunteers, and ag teachers to conduct a statewide collection drive. This year's goal for the drive is $375,000 and will support leadership, career development, and recognition programs at the chapter, section, district, and state level. Illinois Foundation FFA funding directly supports the future of the Illinois Association FFA and its members by assisting with leadership conferences and camps, SAE experience grants, plaques, and monetary awards for proficiencies. Additionally, it provides financial support to the state FFA convention, state officers, and career development events, as well as state FFA degrees. The Illinois Foundation FFA is one of the oldest continuously operating 501c3 nonprofit FFA foundations in the United States. The organization asks for support by providing a tax-deductible contribution this year. To support the FFA programs that prepare tomorrow's ag leaders, food producers, and food processors, as well as natural resource stewards, please send your contributions by January 18, 2019. They may be payable to the Illinois Foundation FFA and mailed to the Litchfield FFA, 1705 North State Street in Litchfield, 62056. Online donations may be submitted at www.illinoisffafoundation.org/donate. And you can catch all of these stories and more at WSMIRadio.com. Just look under the News and Info tab and find Ag News. And that's all I have on this Friday afternoon. I'll remind you that you have another chance to win a $20 pork certificate from the Mid-Illinois Pork Producers at the closing commodities at 1:34 this afternoon here on WSMI. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.